did it again.
And again. And again. And one more time. It's the Rick Emerson radio program, ladies and gentlemen, again, because it's the best story that's ever happened anywhere, ever, 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 that does not involve a donkey of some kind. Here is Tim Riley with today's Britney Watch.
Crazed Britney Spears tried to hang herself with a bed sheet before pleading with her estranged husband to give her another baby.
That sounds like exactly the kind of woman you want to impregnate.
I'm the Antichrist. Give me a baby. That's what the headline says.
Maybe she and Andrea Yates can schedule play dates.
In a week of rehab madness, the bonkers beauty wrote the number on her... 666 on her shaped head before running around the clinic screaming, "I am the Antichrist."
I mean,
later that night she tried to kill herself, a friend said. She attached a sheet to a light and tied it around her neck. Paramedics would call, she's lucky she wasn't hurt. But within days, out of control, Britney has swung from suicidal to matrimonial, as she told hubby Kevin Federline she wanted him to take her back, renew their wedding vows, and yes, once again, get pregnant.
No. I'm going to walk over here. There's just one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
This sentence that I never thought I would hear in this... Britney wrote the number of the beast on her shaved head before running around the clinic screaming, "I am the Antichrist." Seriously, if I had told you 5 years ago...
Yes.
If I had told you 6 months ago... In the future, Britney's going to shave her head and write 666 and scream, "I am the Antichrist," as she runs around the wing of a mental home she's been incarcerated in, probably written in poo, while she screams for her husband to re-impregnate her. I mean, there's just no...
Oh, then she started screaming, "I am a fake! I am a fake!"
Well, that part's certainly true. And then the Inquirer is now reporting, and we do, and people, as we always have to say, as a disclaimer, the Inquirer now is more right than the
New York
most,
Times.
Yes, they're more accurate than most newspapers.
They're the third national newspaper.
The Inquirer has reported that Britney tried to kill herself the night she shaved her head. She tried to kill herself. I officially am calling BS. How many attempts is this? Twice with Xanax, we hear.
Mm-hmm.
Once by what? And they claim now that she tried to kill herself by shaving her head and walking into traffic. But that her handlers pulled her out of traffic before any cars hit her. That's three. Trying to hang herself with a bed sheet. That's four. I mean, I can't even process it. It's just the developments in this are now coming. This is like those guys in 1929 reading the stock ticker, and the ticker's like 20 minutes behind the actual trading, and they can't keep up. Oh, good God almighty. Rick, here we go again. Rick, where's the rest of the Britney story? I heard she was crying for K-Fed to knock her up again so she can be complete and happy, so she wouldn't want to hang herself some more. Good God. I don't even know what to do about this. There's no one to call. There's no one. Jim Roop clearly isn't reporting on this. There's no one to... Can we get somebody from TMZ on here? I mean, I should put Scotty on that. Hey, Scotty. It's not for today. It's probably not going to call, brother that word for today. But we should see if we can get somebody from TMZ on about this. I can no longer, something has to be done. And when I say done, I mean somebody has to come on and enable us to talk about this even more. I don't think people fully appreciate how great this story is. Good God almighty. All right.
That's just those audio or pictures.
Oh, you know that there is, and you nailed it earlier. You know that some guy there was like, "And Britney, look over there." And took a whole bunch of photographs of her. So those will inevitably come out. I mean, it's just... All right. Is there anything else? Anything else in this Britney Spears story?
I'm looking here.
I mean, what else? It would be greedy of us to ask for anything else at this point.
That's about it.
I think God has given us all the Britney Spears goodness that we really are entitled to for one day. I think beyond this, it would just be piggish of us to ask for more. All right. So if you just joined us, let's see. If they just joined us, so Britney Spears shaved her head in a mental home, tried to hang herself with a bed sheet. I don't even understand how that works necessarily. It seems like it can't be much of a rehab place or a mental hospital if she had the wherewithal to be hanging herself from something. I thought that's one of those, like, they took your shoes away and you, like, everything. I thought those places were designed so you couldn't, because, you know, like, Laura works at the Nut House, and those places are all designed so you can't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it doesn't stop you if you're really determined and whatnot, but
Anyway. Well, it's weird. But yeah, and they're letting her play around on the internet and do whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, we heard that she ordered $3,000 worth of, like, hot pants or something.
Which means maybe she won't off herself, because if she's on the internet...
Well, she ordered all those things.
Yeah, and her face is everywhere, so I mean, she has to...
I think everything should be taken away, and she should be given a gun.
There you go. For Mustang.
Before you go, there's something I want you to ask.
See, my problem is this.
Jesus, God. I mean, it may be too soon, or maybe not soon enough to have this discussion, but I mean, here's the thing. You know what I love the most in a movie? I love movies where I can't see around the next corner. Do you know what I mean? I love a movie, even like in Zodiac, where I kind of know the outcome. You know, they never caught the guy. But you don't exactly know what's going to happen in the next scene. You don't really know how it's going to unfold. I love it when I'm in the hands of a filmmaker who really has... the movie is unfolding flawlessly and wonderfully, but I don't really know what's going to happen. I have... no idea how this Britney Spears thing is going to end. And maybe you don't think we should care. Maybe you think there are larger issues. Maybe you think that we ought to be focusing on the heavier issues of the day. But you know what? I don't care. If you're one of those people, you're probably not listening to begin with. If you're one of those people, you're probably not listening to a show who has as one of its major themes a recurring feature called a clown watch. So I have no idea how this Britney Spears thing is going to end. I mean, it seems too predictable now to say that she's going to kill herself. Clearly, she's not going to kill herself. She's tried 4 times, and now she's just trying to get attention. Now she's just trying to get people to pay. You know what it is that she's in the mental home. She doesn't have, there's no cameras, there's no MTV, she's not being interviewed, she's not given a concert, and so she's just settling for getting the people at the mental home to pay attention to her. That's the thing. She's just settling for getting the staff and the doctors to attention whore for her. So she's obviously not serious about killing herself, no work ethic. She can't have a career after this. Not as a singer. It's too late. There's no way.
No way.
I mean, she can't even come out and do the crazy Alice Cooper who I've been in the mental institution thing. It's gone beyond that. So, what do you do when you're Britney Spears now?
No, maybe she might
fix the problems of Walter Reed. Period.
Thank you. It's just covered in roaches. I can't imagine what there is for her when she gets out now. I mean, maybe Tim's right. Maybe the time is here just to end it all. I mean, you know?
No, maybe she will try and do the singing again, and then we'll get to see her at something like, you know, the Clark County Amphitheater.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Mark, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello,
sir. Hey, Rick.
Hey.
You know, I was thinking maybe they were blaring K-Fest music on the intercom over there. That'd be enough to drive me crazy. I'll be here all week.
Mark, thank you. As long as you know where we're at level-wise. All right, thank you. Yeah, there you go. That guy figured it. I'll give him credit. As soon as he said it, he figured it out. He knew. All right. Well, hell. It's 2:20. Let's do a few more stories here, and then we'll take a break.
Well, a woman from Gresham has been charged with stealing 1,000 utility trailers and selling them on the Internet. A spokeswoman for the sheriff's office said they received numerous inquiries concerning the trailer theft operation allegedly involving Linda Shearer and her alleged accomplice, Andrew Culbert. She was arrested by Gresham police Sunday morning and is now being transferred to the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office. Police say Culbert and Shearer would cruise Portland to Vancouver looking for desirable trailers.
Yeah.
They would then return later and haul them off. They stripped and repainted them and then allegedly sold them on Craigslist.
We have this, by the way. Rick, I heard in the news this morning that the shooter, this is the Belmont shooter, mm-hmm. the guy who shot at the Belmont Market, sped away in an orange Corvette.
No, I haven't heard that.
Really? Because that seems like the kind of thing that would get you caught pretty easily.
Yeah.
How many orange Corvettes could there possibly be? Oh, by the way, in case you were just joining us on the Rick Emerson program, Hillary Clinton is trying to pass herself off as a Southerner.
I don't feel no way tired. I come too far.
You know, and they'll
One
ask...
Point Community Credit Union is your smart choice for big savings.
Where is that coming from?
Don't miss this limited
Jim?
Time offer.
I'm not playing.
Sarah, on point, see you.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
That was me. I didn't ask for a commercial. People are just spitting things out.
And you know, Hillary Clinton, you know what she'll do is she'll give the excuse that they always give when things like this happen.
I don't feel no way tired.
They will ask her about it, and she will say, well, you know, when you're around, you know, the people, blah, 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 that you grew up with, you revert back to your old accent, which is what Tim does when he goes back east, or what some southern people do. Stephen Colbert has said he does that when he goes back to the south, or whatever. Here's the thing. She's not from the south, and she never had that accent.
I don't feel no way.
That's an accent she's never had. That's an accent she just created that she just pulled out of an orifice somewhere. That was never her accent. It's not her accent now, just so you're aware. So we're all on the same page. Let's do one more here, and then we'll take a break.
Well, let's talk about headlights, shall we? The Oakland United School District has instituted a new policy to let children who have headlights stay home from school. Well, yeah. That district's health service spokeswoman, Joan Einstein, says missing school is worse than spreading headlights.
Since the 15 days of school, for no reason other than having headlights, and that puts them at risk for academic failure.
So bring headlights to school, kids, won't you?
Everybody wants headlights. It's the new must-have fashion accessory. Why does it take 15 days to get rid of headlights?
I don't know.
Don't they just stick your head in a bucket of something or other?
Kerosene, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Light on fire?
It doesn't seem... Yes, I know we light them on fire. How did you get your son's headlights? I lit him on fire. I immolated him. And the problem just sort of worked itself out. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let me read a couple of these. Rick, this email says, are you, of all people, getting angry at Clyde because some random thing makes him angry? This coming from a person who just copped to the fact that daylight savings time makes him apoplectic. Pot and kettle, you seem mighty, mighty black. Just like Hillary Clinton. Mighty, mighty black. Thank you, sir. Rick, in my neighborhood, there's a daily marketing cafe. It's on the corner of 50th and Halsey, and they have all things local. Vizo, kettle chips, and lesbian magazines. It is wonderful, says Kristen. Well, okay. Let's see, what else do we have here? And then Justin, your ex-Justin, sending me this long, really, like hundreds of words long, much of it in all caps, with lots and lots of, I'm counting like 50 exclamation marks here, about my daylight savings time thing. Justin seems really unduly angry about this. I'm not going to read. What else do we have here? Well, we've got these phone calls and whatever. We should just break, though. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Bottom of the hour. More Tim Riley. Like us at 3. Don and Mike at 7. I really ought to try to get this top 5 done. I'll see if that happens. It's 503.
And the donkey story.
And the was I going to read that again? Fantastic. I'll get that ready. 503-733-2970. Here's Hank Jr. You stay there.
Any nights alone had left some permanent scars. She loved me and I told her that I'd do the same.
that lover, I guess I must like the abuse.
Fantastic. There you go. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming up at 3, Lycus, Don, and Mike at 7, John and Jeff at 11, and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, please pay heed and make way for your left-handed president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Teenagers, get in the house, otherwise the cops are going to bust you. They're sick and tired of your crap. Come spring break time, they're going to start enforcing curfew. What is curfew? It's the time you have to be in the house and not hanging around outdoors. If you're under 14, and we know you're listening, your curfew time is 9:15 on weekdays and 10:15 on weekends. Now, if you're 14 and up, that's closer to an adult, you can stay out until 10:15 on a weeknight and all the way up till midnight on the weekend.
You're kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Oh, my God.
Being a kid sucks.
Yep.
Well, suck it up, kids. It's a life full of pain and despair.
Well, I should be in the house watching American Idol anyway.
Shouldn't you be communicating with pedophiles on MySpace anyway? So, there you go. Be inside huffing paint thinner out of a paper bag in the basement. Fantastic. Being a kid is the worst thing ever. Being it, let me just tell you this right now. It's a little message from the Rick Emerson Show to you. Being a teenager sucks. Being underage sucks. Being a child sucks. Being an adult is much better, and anybody who looks back at their high school years as being, quote, the golden years in their life has something really wrong with them. So, there you go. Well, sorry about that, but what can you do, little bastards?
Whoops, we accidentally killed 9 Afghan civilians today in a bombing raid. Yeah. The news comes shortly after U.S. forces were accused of killing 10 civilians during a shootout in the same area. The U.S. forces are concerned carrying out an air strike, but they have no accurate casualty information. Journalists say U.S. troops confiscated their photos and video footage of the event. Meanwhile, statistics show that 2/3 of Americans are overweight or obese, and an estimated 300,000 premature deaths are caused by obesity. That's a lot. Best-selling author and food critic Linda Grassheimer says the startling figures can be reduced to...
Startling.
Yep, very startling. 300,000 a year?
No.
Okay, you can stop all this madness by eating almonds every day, and we know you would.
You have a handful of almonds, so that's about 23 almonds is in an ounce. That's only 163 calories, so you're getting... It's the calorie-dense food. You're getting a lot of bang for your buck there. Because you're not having a lot of calories, you're having protein, which fills you up.
Okay, eat almonds today, won't you?
A can a week. That's all we ask.
From the American Almond Board.
The almonds are really, nuts in general are bad for you, aren't they?
No, nuts are good for you.
Are you sure?
Absolutely positive.
I'm not saying bad for you as such, but I thought they were full of fat, is my point.
Well, they're fattening, but I mean, they're not
bad like a Big Mac.
They should kind of fat.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you like to know what I'm basing my knowledge? Here's where all of my scientific knowledge about nuts comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll note that I'm not going to make any of the amusing puns, blah, 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 blah. I'm above that today.
Sure.
All of my nut knowledge comes from Michael Mara on the Don and Mike Show, who said...
Do you talk about nuts a lot?
Yes.
Constantly.
Anyway... Comes from Michael Merritt. No, because he, is a large man, but he's lost a lot of weight. And he said he actually pinpointed, he discovered one of the reasons he was so overweight. And he said he had this thing that, like, he thought nuts were a health food, like almonds. And he said he was eating, like, cans a day. And he said that he realized that almonds were incredibly fattening, and that's where a lot of his weight gain was actually coming from. So there you go. I'm actually sort of paranoid about eating nuts because I believe that they're so fattening. Maybe I'm unduly afraid of them. Here's a little fun fact. Lara has this can of mixed nuts that sits in the cupboard, and I know that they're really tasty, but I'm actually afraid to eat them. I actually won't even open them because I'm afraid to eat them because I'm afraid they're going to instantly make me fat. I have this superstitious fear of the can of nuts that I'm going to eat them, and suddenly I'm going to weigh like 200 pounds. All right. Scotty, we will probably not speak. If you haven't called Peter by now, it's probably too late. So we will probably not have speaks with Peter Carlin today. Yeah, it's too, like 2:45, so there's probably no point.
It wouldn't do him justice.
No, it really would be no purpose. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Foolish.
Yeah, foolhardy. A waste of skin.
Some stolen puppies have been returned. Four of the five Yorkshire puppies stolen at gunpoint from a home in Koreatown, Los Angeles, found safe and returned to the family. LAPD said a home invasion robbery a few weeks ago was caught on tape. The images show thieves stealing the puppies, and police say the video helped in their investigation. Police were led to the home of 19-year-old Ryan Benton, who has turned himself in. Police say they continued their search for other suspects in the robbery. The family had advertised in local newspapers that the puppies, worth an estimated $2,500 each, were for sale.
Really?
Yeah.
How could a puppy possibly be? What, is it made of gold?
It's a Yorkshire Terrier.
Yeah, I get it. It's not like a thing I really need to learn about. I just don't know anything about dogs. I have no idea why some dogs are expensive and some dogs aren't. I guess it's a thing I don't really care about. Let's move on. Hey, what time is it? It's like 44?
It 44. Is, yes.
Do we have time to do the top five?
No.
No. Okay.
No. Forget it.
We do have time for the donkey story.
Give up hope. Kill yourselves now. we should just, that should be a daily feature on the program. Yeah, another reason to end your lives early. Another reason just to end it all now. From the Rick Emerson Show. It's funny because Susan Reynolds called me this morning and she's like, oh, yeah, we have to do this thing where we submit like a synopsis of all of the public affairs program we've been doing. Which is where...
Are we even doing any?
No, not really. No, I mean tons.
It's in the public affairs graveyard, isn't it?
Why, whatever do you mean? Are you talking about the Sunday morning... programming that airs from 6 to 7 a.m. on Sundays when everyone is listening.
Scores gather on the wireless.
Everybody in Portland, that's appointment listening, my friend.
It is.
Everybody in Portland gets up so they can listen to public affairs programming in the station between 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. on Sunday.
They offer some of the finest programs.
That's why we put that programming there, because that's when everybody is listening. Anywho, and so, but I got this form. I don't have it in front of me. I'd read it. But it was like, pleased to be listing now all of the things that your station does to serve the community. And it pleased to, and it was, one of them was, please give examples of news programs or call-in shows which serve the public interest.
Well, this one certainly does.
It goes way over what needs to be done. Really, I was actually in the process of typing in Tim Riley, you know, news desk, serves the public, and I couldn't even do it. I got like three words in, I just couldn't. I told Susan, I said, we don't really serve the public interest in any way. Maybe I shouldn't be talking about this on the air. But I said, we don't really serve the public interest as such, I don't think, in any demonstrable way. Should I just lie about this? And she said, no,
we were supposed to anymore.
No, I thought that it had gone out the window under Reagan. I thought that it was deregulated and we were...
People post things on the bulletin board to Fred Meyer. That's public service.
It's true. Hey, you know...
Many adorable kittens to be given away to a good home.
And, roommate, Christian only, please. As a side note, that made me think of David Sarnoff and his speech he gives about... Tim, you really have to see this Farnsworth adventure, this play, this Sorkin play that I saw in La Jolla. If only because there are so many great lines. I won't spoil anything, but there's so many great phrases that the Sarnoff character uses in this. He has this great line about how... Because believe it or not, there was a time when you people didn't take advertising on the radio. It was considered improper. It was considered tacky to advertise things on the radio. And Sarnoff...
That's an American.
Totally. And Sarnoff has this line about... Once you become good at delivering customers to clients, you'll find it's very difficult to be good at anything else. And there's another great line, actually, when they're talking about how terrible... And this is like in 1941, something like that. And there's this great phrase where they're talking to Sarnoff about how all of the programming on the CBS radio network, or the NBC radio network, sorry, all of the programming in the NBC radio network is like terrible and tacky and awful. And Sarnoff has this great line. He said, I don't know what I'm afraid of, that radio is terrible and people don't listen, or radio that's terrible, or radio is terrible and they do. It's just all rings so true even today. But then that in turn got me thinking about this. The guy who plays Philo Farnsworth, who created television, who I saw in this Aaron Sorkin play in La Jolla, is in Zodiac. It's weird. Laura and I are just sitting there watching Zodiac last night at the theater at Cinetopia. Ba 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 ba, enjoying Zodiac, and then door opens on the screen, a guy walks in, and all of a sudden it's the guy who we just saw on stage at La Jolla. It was bizarre. It was a mind trip. All right, I'm going to read. This is as part of operating in the public interest, convenience, and necessity. I will now read the donkey story. In fact, let me find an appropriate bed for this.
Hey, man, this don't feel right. My donkey senses are tingling all over.
Really? Where did you find that?
Scotty J.
Well done, Scotty.
Hey, man, this don't feel right. My donkey senses are tingling all over.
Excellent. I take back some of the things I've said about you, Scotty.
You gave me some other ones, too, but that one was the funniest one.
All right. Well, let me just... Lonely man brought donkey to hotel room, court told. A man who was found dressed in latex and handcuffs brought a donkey to his room in a Galway City Center hotel because he was advised, quote, to get out and meet people, end quote, the local court heard last week. Thomas Aloysius McCarney, with an address in South Galway, was charged with cruelty to animals, lewd and obscene behavior, and with being a danger to himself when he appeared before the court on Friday. He was also charged with damage to a minibar in the room, but this charge was later dropped when the defendant said it was the donkey who had caused all the minibar damage. Solicitor for the court, the accused, Miss Sharon Fitzhenry, said that her client had been through a difficult time and that his wife had left him and his life had become increasingly lonely. Mr. McCarney had been attending counseling, she said, at which he was told that it would be advised to get out and, quote, do something interesting. It was this advice that saw him book into the city center hotel with a donkey, she said. She added that Mr. McCarney also suffered from a fixation with the Shrek movies and could constantly be heard at work talking to himself and saying things like, isn't that right, donkey?
Hey, man, this don't feel right. My donkey senses are tingling all over.
Superintendent John McBreedy told the court that Mr. McCarney, who had signed in as Mr. Shrek, told hotel staff that the donkey was a family pet, and this was believed by the receptionist, who the superintendent said was young and didn't have great English skills. Receptionist Irina Legova said that Mr. McCarney had told her the donkey was, quote, a breed of super rabbit, end quote. I wonder what a super rabbit, like if you'd ask
that
her to...
That would just be scary.
Like if you'd ask her to draw a picture of a super rabbit or to list its skills, what would she have put?
Who would believe that? I mean, if someone just comes in with a giant, oversized animal.
It's a super rabbit. Which he was bringing to a pet fair in the city. The court was told that the donkey went berserk in the middle of the night and ran amok in the hotel corridor, forcing staff to call the guard eye. McCarney was found in the room wearing a full-body latex suit and handcuffs, the key to which the donkey is believed to have swallowed. He was removed to Mill Street Station, after which it was said he was the subject of much mirth among the lads next door. He was fined £2,000 for bringing the donkey to the room under the Unlawful Accommodation of Donkeys Act of 1837. Other charges were dropped due to lack of evidence. And that is the donkey story. Back after this on the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Rick Emerson radio program, and I believe let me make sure here before I read anything else, before I make any pronouncements on the air. It was a weird sound I just made. All right, hold on here. I know this is gripping radio, but I'm finding this email. I want to make sure that I can. All right. I can't find it. So I'll just say, how do I put this? We are going to be without the stenographic services of Mailman Chris from this point forward. We'll just put it that way. It's nothing bad has happened. But I think he is a...
We should stop before something bad does.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think Mailman Chris is just, yes, it's sort of a walk before they make you run kind of a thing. So, all right. It's 503-733-2970. I'll get this phone call in a second. And then, didn't I have something else I was supposed to be doing here? Is that something I was supposed to do in this segment?
I don't think so. Where's Tim?
Tim? Where is Tim? Tim? No, he's gone. Damn it. How does he do that?
I don't know.
All right. I'm going to read this at the end of the program knowing that I should have been reading it earlier, but I just got it. Rick, I think I have cracked a Rick Emerson Show mystery. Who even knew there were Rick Emerson Show mysteries? He said, you see, I have an uncanny ability to hear more than what's being said. Through careful analysis and calculation, I have figured out who Sarah's mystery man is. Uh-huh. I have concluded that Sarah's mystery man, this is the Sarah's new gentleman friend, I have concluded that Sarah's mystery man is none other than, do you have a guess?
I don't even want to know.
It's somebody we all know. I mean, so it's, yeah, you could conceivably get it. He doesn't really specify. I'm not going to say the name right now. He says, I have cracked a Rick Emerson show mystery, I think. I have an uncanny ability to hear more than what's being said. I guess he means subtext. Through careful analysis and calculation, I have concluded that Sarah's mystery man is none other than blank. I don't live in Portland. I don't hang out at Sabala's, Dante's, or other places that Emerson fans frequent. I've drawn this conclusion based on what I've heard on the Rick Emerson show and, more importantly, what I haven't heard. Please tell me I'm wrong. If you can, signed Mike. Do you have any guess?
No.
He said he believes he has figured out the man you're sort of seeing is.
Is he right?
No. No, he's completely wrong. He's completely wrong. But do you have any guess?
No.
It'll kind of weird you out a little bit.
That's exactly why I don't want to guess.
Do you want me to tell you? It's going to kind of weird you out. Not in a bad way. It's just sort of, it's one of those things where I'm going to say it, and you're going to go back in your head now and wonder how he got this idea.
Okay.
But first, let's take this phone call. Brandon, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
Brandon.
Hey, I was just calling to see whether you are gullible or whether you think your audience is gullible.
Probably both, but what specifically are you talking about?
The donkey story?
Yeah.
Is complete satire.
Is it not real?
Yeah, I'm reading it on a website called thespoof.com.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't care whether it's real or not.
I sent it to CNN and I didn't care if it was real.
Yeah, I don't care.
It's a well-written fake story, that's for sure.
I'm going to continue to act and believe as though it is real. I'm going to continue to spread
the
myth.
How did you pop our bubble?
I do apologize. Well, when I looked it up and I saw that the original source was Reuterus, instead of Reuters?
You know, here's the thing.
That's really what it says, actually. That wasn't like a...
Would you like to know how this could be worse? It could be worse. You could be calling to tell us the Britney story was fake.
That's right. Actually, that's what Scotty thought I was calling about.
No.
It's the donkey.
No, you know what? As part of the media, I'm going to use the power of this radio station to delude and ill-inform others, and I'm going to continue to insist that it's real.
I don't see why not.
All right, there you go.
Go for it.
Thank you, sir.
All right,
there you go. Any guesses now?
No, I don't want to guess, Rick.
All right. Do you want to know?
Okay.
Rick, I think I have cracked a Rick Emerson show mystery. You see, I have an uncanny ability to hear more than what's being said. Through careful analysis and calculation, I have concluded that Sarah's mystery man is none other than... Than...
Okay. Rick, just
Van. Tim Savage.
Really?
That's awkward. Yeah, I don't know. And he says, I don't live in Portland. I don't hang out. Blah, 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 blah. I've drawn this conclusion based on what I've heard on the Rick Emerson show. More importantly, what I haven't heard.
I have to tell you, I have had more than one person ask me.
You
about
Tim
Savage? Yep.
Why?
I have absolutely no idea.
Not that he's not a handsome man, but I have no idea.
I don't even know.
That's weird.
Yeah, and when I've been out in public, I've had people ask me.
How do I put this? There's people who are
listeners to the show and...
And were listeners to the Tim Nation. He is no longer with CBS Radio. It's awkward, but what are you going to do? CBS Radio asked him to find employment elsewhere.
And perhaps people, who knew me at one point and then haven't seen me in a while and they kind of have asked...
These are... No, I'm not even... No. I'm backing up now. I was about to... And I hate the sound... I don't know. I hate to put it this way. I was going to wade into exactly how I think this guy and apparently other people came to the conclusion that maybe there was something going on between you and Tim Savage.
No, wade into it a little.
No, I can't. It would be wrong of me to do so.
Okay.
It would be wrong of me to do so, especially because... No, I can't. I'm not trying to be that guy. I'm not trying to be that guy. And I was going to say, I hate to put it this way, but I was going to say it's also awkward and I guess ultimately moot because he's no longer here because he was asked to pursue his trade at another place. So it's kind of ultimately a pointless discussion. No, and it's not my business. I don't want to make anybody else awkward. Maybe if somebody else guesses it. As somebody else just did in this email.
What?
Well, Okay, I'm going to say this, and then you tell me whether I should dump it or not. I'm going to say it, and I'll dump it if you think I shouldn't.
Okay.
Okay. It is because he and his sidekick, who is also named Sarah,
uh-huh.
have an energy to them that I believe could easily be misconstrued as somewhat romantic.
Oh, okay.
Dump or not? You tell me.
I don't think you need to dump it.
Okay. So yeah. There you go. So when he was doing the Timnasium, his co-host was also named Sarah. It was actually weird. There's Tim and Sarah and Tim and Sarah, and there's actually yet another Tim Ryan, who works here. And so Sarah Wagner, who was the co-host of the Timnasium with Tim Savage, they had, and I'm not saying, and I'm not implying anything. I'm not saying there was, I'm saying.
Well, people think you and I are secretly in love.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly the analogy I was going to make. That just as though there, as there is nothing between you and I, but people often think there is, if you listened to Tim Savage and Sarah Wagner, if you did not know better, you could come away with the impression there was, because they had a real chemistry to them, a real vibe. So there you go. So that's it. And too late to dump it now. Upward.
It's up there.
All right. Coming up tomorrow, Dennis Pitzenbarger joins us on the Rick Emerson Show. We will get to this AC/DC Top 5, which I tracked yesterday, but I was thwarted by the unrelenting hands of the clock, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow, Britney Spears will still be bald and thinking she's the Antichrist. We'll have more about that, plus more from Tim Riley, etc. Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, our PA, Scotty J, and Dave Zinn is the gatekeeper. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards run you down. Thank you for listening to BCF. See you all tomorrow. Bye.
I don't feel no way tired.